from the case. But we are in the very process of planning our mission work for this next year. And so next Sunday, every dollar, every nickel, every penny that is given will be devoted toward mission work. That's why Christ died. Last words He ever spoke were, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And we believe that's what it's all about. And that's really what we've been singing about, is it not? That is Christ for the world we sing, and we're trying to reach out in relationship to that. As we think about how to do this for such a long time, our mission work, mission monies were all just a part of our regular weekly contribution. But the reality is that about 4 years ago, the elders looked at what we were doing and noticed that we were giving about $50,000 a year to do mission work. And it's sort of hard how you divide this and describe it and how much you describe as mission work. I believe that the preaching and the support of the evangelists that we that work at this congregation, that that's mission work in a form, and that is evangelism. And yet those numbers are not a part of this in relationship to that. But in 2003, we were spending about $1,000 a week in reaching out and trying to touch the lives of others. And a part of that work, and you'll see it on the screen, were the 7 mission points that we were involved in, and then Apologetics Press and teen mission trips and the Heart to Heart magazine, the radio program that we had. And we were giving at that time about $50,000 a week. The elder said, "Let's try this. Let's take one Sunday and set that aside for mission work. And instead of running the church off of a 52-weeks budget, we'll run it off of a 51-weeks budget. And whatever this church gives will be devoted to evangelism." And so in that year, 2004, the church gave $126,000. And one of the elders remarked to me at that time, "We just really didn't know where this church was." You stop and think about it. Because of the heart that you have, because you are characterized by those verses that were read, they first gave themselves unto the Lord. 2.5 times what we had been doing and reaching the lost, we were able to do it. And then the next year we did exactly the same thing, and the year 2006 and the year 2007, over $120,000 had been given every one of those years. I am thankful, I rejoice that I'm a part of a congregation that has first given itself to the Lord. And we need to be thankful that God is using us. And so that sermon last week, we just look back at all that we've done. Are you aware of the fact that in that 4-year period of time, we've given nearly $500,000 to reach out and to touch those who are lost? That's an astounding contribution to be given. You stop and think about, had we gone along the other road, we'd have been, you know, we'd been at maybe at a, you know, less than a quarter of $200,000, and yet in that 4-year period of time, we've given $500,000 to reach out and to touch the lives of others. I don't know about you. I'm thankful to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes. I'm thankful that there is within you a heart that looks at the lost world and says, "We want to do something about it." And so we've averaged $123,000 and $423,400 every year on Mission Sunday. Now before us lies Mission Sunday for next year, and that's next week. And what that number will be, only God knows. And yet the purpose of that lesson last week was to encourage us by looking backward at what we have done. And the design of the lesson this week is to encourage each one of us to sacrificially think about our giving next week. Because of the great challenges that lie before us. And I beg of you to be praying about this. And you be praying for the whole church, and praying especially for yourself, and look inward as to what you might be able to do. Because whatever we're able to do will be determined not by some magical waving of a wand, but it will be determined by the kind of heart that you have. And I have confidence in you, my brethren, that we'll be able to rise to this occasion. Now, in order to look at our givings, every year we've used a pyramid to describe what we're going to do. And there is that base number that is there in that pyramid, some $75,000 in that base number. And these are the things that we've already committed ourselves to. And you begin looking at the things that are there, and some of them readily jump out at us. Let's just talk about them in a passing way. First of all, is that matter of that Spanish work in which we are involved. Meeting in this building right now. And I don't know about you, but I think it's a joy to walk up and down that hallway and see them assemble there. Those individuals who do not speak our language, and yet we're doing everything we can to reach out. And do you not rejoice at being blessed by having Douglas and his family here to be a part of that? The other Wednesday night when extended invitation, I was just thrilled at the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on that occasion. And we are truly, truly blessed to be able to do this. We'll be saying a little bit more about this aspect of it in just a minute. And then think about the challenge that lies before us, as even right now, Troy Spradling is out at that school of preaching, the Southwest School of Biblical Studies in Austin, Texas, and he's there training to be our missionary. And we ought to rejoice and just imagine all that he's learning. Every time you talk to him, he talks about how much he's learning sitting in those classes out there. And here he is, day after day, hour after hour, and training himself and getting ready to be a preacher of the gospel, and a part of that contribution will be given to enable him to continue this training to become a great, great servant of Jesus. And visitors, if you're here for the first time and you don't know Troy, you cannot begin to imagine how talented the guy is. You stop and think about the ability and the times that he stood in this pulpit and preached to us, and all the other times we've seen him as he served the Lord in various ways. I'm excited about the fact that a part of what I give next Sunday will be able to contribute toward what he has done. And then you think about that Heart to Heart magazine that we for 8 years have been using in this work. And you stop and you look at the number of issues that go out 6 times a year, and we mail out nearly 8,000 of them. You know, that's nearly 47,000 times people around this building are reminded about the Lord Jesus Christ, reminded about the presence of His church in this building. You stop and think about the impact that it has. We hardly ever, maybe we never, mail out that Heart to Heart magazine unless there's somebody who responds to that by either coming to the service or by asking for tracts or enrolling in a Bible correspondence course. That very paper is really honestly and truly having an impact. Imagine 47,000 times this last year we were able to not literally knock on the door, but to be inside the homes of nearly 8,000 people that live around this building. And so the monies that will be contributed next year, part of that base number, is a continuation of that program. It's not just something that we have done in the past. It is the things that we are continuing to do. And then you think about the missionaries that we are supporting. And there's Robert and Mary, and there's Chris and Vicky, and there is Nana Aforji in Nigeria, and Tamuka Arenga in Zimbabwe, and there's Joey and his wife, whose name I cannot get right at the moment, and the first one is not Robert. I thought that was Robert up in that top picture up there. But there's Robert and Mary down there. And there's our missionaries over there in Marsh Harbor. You think about the mission work that we're doing. I don't know about you, but when I look at the impact that this church is having, the Bible talks about in reference to the church at Thessalonica, and we use that as the basis of our lesson last week, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." And that's exactly what's happening. And this next year, because of the contribution and the heart that you have, we, by the very grace of God, will be able to continue to reach out and for this congregation to be able to have a worldwide impact. I thought about how to emphasize this and just couldn't figure out how to do it, but wouldn't it be amazing just to imagine, had I the capability to say in all the languages that all of these people are speaking, thank you for teaching me the gospel? I mean, you stop and think about it. Whenever on those Wednesday night, Jeff says, well, we want to write cards over here to some new person over at Marsh Harbor who's obeyed the gospel. Are you aware of the fact that's Mission Sunday kind of money? That's the kind of monies that are being given here to reach out there. And we will never meet those people from Nigeria or from Zimbabwe over there in Africa in all likelihood. But can you imagine on the day of judgment that from around the world, there will be people who will be walking into heaven and they'll be able to look at you and say, thank you for teaching me the gospel. Thank you, Palm Beach Lakes, for telling me about Jesus. You stop and think about that work out in the South Pacific that Robert and Joey and others are doing out in that area, and recognize that of the 22 island nations that are there because of you and because of your participation and support of Robert and others in that work, that 17 of those 22 island nations now has the Lord's church in it. Then our very special association that we have with Apologetics Press and those men that are there. They spoke on 147 speaking trips in 84 cities, 17 states, and one foreign country were there defending the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what they did in the year 2007. And because of the monies that you are contributing in 2008, we're confident they'll be able to do the rest of this. And then you look at the impact of their website. You think about how far-reaching the computer is. And we're a part of Apologetics Press and a part of all that they do. And in 2007, there were nearly 4 million hits, 10,000 a day, 10,000 pages a day. Because of what Apologetics is doing, Apologetics Press is doing, and because of our special association that we have with them. And then you think of all the books and the tracks and other things they're producing, the DVDs and all of the things that are involved in that. And God being our helper, we have every intention of continuing our association with this work. And that's why they're there in that base number. And then add to that the mission trip that our teens make. And we do not know for sure yet, and we wouldn't announce it if we do yet, where the teens are going to go this year. Because they commit themselves to go not on the basis of the fact, well, I think I'd like to go over there and see this or see that. That's not what it's all about. It's a commitment to a lost world. And so our teens will be able to make that commitment that I'm going to go on this mission trip and serve the Lord somewhere in this year. And that's a part of that base number. And so whenever we go back and we look at that pyramid, there is that base number, and the number is $73,000. By the way, that number is lower this year than it's been in former years. Well, how'd that come about? We're doing more in relationship to this. Would you listen to me and rejoice with me? There is a lady who passed away this past year, not a member of this congregation, a member of the Lord's church, but not of this congregation. And because of what she saw in this very congregation, she has contributed through her will a sum of money. And because her last name is Hispanic, we are convinced that those monies were given because of our Hispanic work. And so we've been able to lower the amount from the very base that will be contributed to the Spanish work. Because some individual, knowing what we were doing, reaching out and touching the law, said, when I die, I want to be a part of that. Now, you'll also see when our regular weekly budget is presented, because a part of that Spanish money comes out of our 51-week contribution, you'll also see a lessening of the monies that's there, because somebody loved this church enough to say, I'm going to give, I'm going to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the monies that she's given will be used over the next 3 years to enable us to do even more. Will you see the blank that's there? I want to announce today the beginning, the first step, the beginning of something that we're going to talk about in relationship to reaching out and becoming a part of the Lord's work, and it becomes a part of the base, and we'll be talking so much more about this. I guess by now you already can recognize what we're talking about, and that is the beginning of the Blackmer Spanish mission team of which we are a part. So what we're going to do beginning this year is understanding there'll be expenses that they will incur even in this year in reaching out and touching those who are lost. There'll be expenses that they will have in trying to reach out and touch that. And then in order that we might have a sum of monies in an operating fund for them, we are this year adding the Blackmer Spradling Fund, and we're beginning our mission work this year. And it becomes a part of what we're trying to do. Think of all of those years that we said, wouldn't it be great to have our own missionaries? And here they are down in with their plans to go down to Paraguay and to be a part of that work that is there. And by the way, think of Chris Fry and the association this church has with him. And so that work in Asuncion has Chris Fry and his family with that mission team that's there. It will have from this very congregation, Troy and Andrea, and it will have, Josh and Kara. They will be our mission team. And so in order to do that, we notified our missionaries about a year ago, like Robert and Joey and others. We're going to not give quite as much as we have been given. And so we've lowered by $1,700, and that's all that is, by $1,700 the amount of monies that we're going to be giving to those involved in the South Pacific and those other missionaries and mission points that's involved in that. And so in order that we might be able to serve the Lord, the base number is $75,000. The reason that it is lower, $1,700 of it comes because of a decision that we're going to have our own missionary and not just send, $200 here or $500 here or $500 here or $300 here per month. But in order to be able to do that, we are establishing this year the beginning of the Blackmer Spradling Mission Fund that will enable us in the year 2009 to have our own missionaries there in the foreign country. Now, Troy is out there in Austin, Texas, and Troy has something he'd like to say to us.
To all of our friends and family at Palm Beach Lakes.
Hello.
Hello. Troy and Andrea coming to you from Austin, Texas at the Southwest School of Bible Studies. We'd like to say thank you and express to you how much we appreciate your support and your prayers and your encouragement while we're preparing ourselves here at the school. It's been a wonderful experience so far, and it's been a real blessing towards our spiritual growth. I know that Andrea's enjoyed her classes she's taken, and she's really enjoying her new job at World Video Bible School, and I'm trying to absorb all I can from these teachers. We're also very thankful for the upcoming Mission Sunday and the elders' decision to include us in those plans. We're thankful for the opportunity to be included in a continuing support here at Southwest, and we are especially excited about our future plans of going into the mission field with Josh and Kara down to Paraguay. We can't thank you enough, and we appreciate you very much. We would encourage you to please remember us while you're making your plans towards your contribution for Mission Sunday. And please know that we miss you very much, and we love you very much. And may God bless you all. Back to you, Dan.
Is he something or what? I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. And folks, we're not just going to send money to people we don't even know, just a name on a piece of paper. Palm Beach Lakes will have its own missionaries. I don't know if that makes you as excited as I am, but brethren, I'm asking you to give this next Sunday so that we can make it happen. We also, in this next year, as we talk about these things that are going to happen, there is that next level, and part of that is that Heart to Heart magazine that is going to continue to send over there to Marsh Harbor. But there's a new thing that we're adding this next year, and it goes up into the second level of the pyramid, and it's called the Silencing of God Seminar. What on earth is the Silencing of God Seminar? You remember during the lectureship when Dave Miller spoke here, and he talked about how they were removing God from America. Tim, you mentioned it in the prayer so wonderfully this morning about the immorality and the ungodliness that's in this land. And so Apologetics Press and Dave Miller have put together a seminar that tries to address the godlessness and the anti-God feeling that there is in America. I want us to take just a moment and look at some excerpts from that Silencing of God seminar.
Is it not the case that we have been told in the last 50 years, the Constitution enjoins separation of church and state? Have we been told that or not? Haven't we been told that, as a matter of fact, the founding fathers set up a government with the deliberate intention of being accepting of all religions? That's pluralism. Isn't that what we've been told for 50 years? Haven't we been told that, as a matter of fact, the founding fathers were not particularly religious men? If anything, they were deists, which in today's definition is belief in a supreme being who was kind of the creator, but, you know, he kind of wound up the universe, stepped away from it, doesn't really have anything to do with it. The founding fathers certainly did not claim affiliation with Christianity. Haven't we been told that for 50 years? Haven't we been told that the founding fathers, in fact, opposed public expressions of the Christian religion, at least in public ways, especially in connection with the government and public schools? You know what Hitler said in his masterpiece of propaganda, Mein Kampf? He said, by means of shrewd lies, unremittingly repeated, it is possible to make people believe that heaven is hell and hell heaven. In fact, the greater the lie, the more readily it'll be believed. Another man said, it's easier to believe a lie that one has heard 1,000 times than to believe a fact that no one has heard before. Americans are apparently disinterested in checking out the facts. Many of them are not even aware that separation of church and state, that phrase, and anything akin to it, is not in the Constitution. It was in a private piece of correspondence written by Thomas Jefferson when he was president. That's years after the beginning. And he was simply responding to a letter that had been written to him by a Baptist association that had become concerned about whether or not the government was going to interfere with the free and open practice of the Christian religion. Thomas Jefferson wrote the letter to assure them that's not going to happen. The government can't do that. Now that phrase is being used and interpreted to say the exact opposite of what it was originally intended to mean. Is there any truth to any of this in the Constitution? Is there any truth to it in the lives of the founders? Can we go back and look at what they wrote, what they said, what they did, and determine whether or not the ACLU's right about this? And all of these federal judges, there's apparently a lot of them, that are perpetrating this concept. What does separation of church and state mean? Although that's not a constitutional concept, let's just go ahead and entertain it. What did Jefferson mean? What would the original people mean if they used such terminology? Would they mean by that, we have got to keep God, Christ, the Bible, Christianity, religion, out of public life? That's what they're saying it means. Or does the concept mean keep the government from interfering with the free and public exercise of the Christian religion? There's your two views. And if you've studied American history in the last 50 years, you would take number two on this. In fact, I was in Florida recently. A fellow that looked to be in his 20s, who had minored in history, said, "Dave, this is a very different view of history that you have presented." I was in Atlanta, Georgia. A girl came up to me, a woman who was raised in the California school district. She said, "I never heard any of this stuff in history." And I was in Seattle a couple of weeks ago, and a man came up to me who majored in history. He looked to be in his 40s. He said, "I never heard any of this stuff." You would have to be probably World War II generation and before to believe, to know what I'm about to show you. Which of these two views is it? Do you know, if we go back, instead of reading history books, and I would urge everyone in here, if you do any study of history, don't read any history book that's been written in the last 50 years. In fact, throw them out of your library, burn them. If you want to know what the founders believed, quit reading what people said they believed and go back and read what they said. Don't we need to do that with the Bible? I don't want to read what people say the Bible says. Let's go back to the original sources. What if we go back and find that these men constantly spoke of God, Christ, Christianity, the Bible, quoted the Bible over and over and over? What would be the conclusion we ought to arrive at? All right, let me show you some of this evidence. Let's look at some government documents. These are public, government, federal documents. You recognize this one? I wonder if young people are made to read any of this material. I'm going to highlight some portions of this document. Two at the very beginning, two at the very end. Let me blow these up for you. Here is a reference to capital N, Nature's God, capital G, which if you go back and read the original sources, that's a very common expression. And what they meant by that was the God who created the natural order, nature's God. They're talking about the God of the Bible. And in just a breath or two later, they say that, you know, humans are endowed by their evolutionary ancestors. No. By their creator, capital C, with certain inalienable rights. No question who they were talking about, the creator that you read about in Genesis chapter 1. As you come down toward the end of this document, they refer to the supreme judge of the world. That's incredible. You don't find in this document them saying anything about the great beneficent being, the gracious God, although they do refer to Him in those terms. But no, they pick out one attribute from the Creator and speak of Him as judge. I looked into this to find out why. You know why? They believed that all human beings individually will stand before God at the end of time, judgment. But they said nations won't. Nations are judged by God in history, in time. You ever read your Old Testament? That's a fact. God deals with nations, national entities, based upon their morality. These men knew that. They understood that what they were trying to do would either bring them into judgment or the nation from whom they were breaking away. And then they refer to divine providence, which again is a very common expression used in the 18th century to refer to the God of the Bible. Folks, here were 56 men who put their signatures to this document at peril of their lives. In fact, Franklin said, "Fellas, we'd better hang together or we will hang separately." And here is a political document that really launches the great American experiment. If you were writing such a document, if you had a reason to sit down with some other men and write out some political ideas about starting a new nation, would you bring your religion into it?
You know what's happened to America? You understand the threat there is to our freedom of religion, freedom of expression? Do you understand that we are on the verge of being kept from even talking about homosexuality, though the Bible is filled with discussions of it? Do you understand what's happening in our homes? Those of you with small children understand that when the Bible talks about discipline, that our world is filled with those individuals who would remove from you not just the obligation that you have of disciplining your children, but would remove from you the right to discipline your children. I want you to know, God never gave your children to a school system. God never gave your children to society. God gave to you your children and the rights to rear your children in a godly way is being taken from you. And I'm excited. Whenever I heard Dave Miller talk about that in our lectureship, and so many of you came to us and said, we need more and more of this, that we've added Dave Miller coming to Palm Beach County this next year, provided we can sacrificially make it happen. And so we've already set the date and already have made arrangements to use the auditorium at PBCC off of PGA Boulevard, the EC Theater that's there. We've already rented it, believing that you will be able to help us accomplish this very thing. And we intend to use media as far and as wide as we can, getting off-site so that it doesn't look like a church thing per se, but to get out in a neutral place and then to advertise this. And the final session of that will be inside this building. It is to bridge the gap from the neutral site to bring those individuals on that and on August the 17th, to bring those individuals Friday night, Saturday night, there on a neutral site, and then the Sunday services here, both Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon here in this building. We need to understand the great, great opportunity that is ours. And so the Silencing of God seminar is tried to stir people to return from the depths of moral depravity, to reclaim our Christian heritage, and to reaffirm the biblical values in public life. And whether that becomes a reality or not will be determined by you. We've got advertising money that is involved in that. But if we can go up to the next level, if our contribution, instead of reaching the $86,000 level, can reach the $97,000, then there will be these other things that we can do. And one of the things, as you look at the top of that, is to do even more advertising. We believe the more people that hear about this, you know, full-page ads or at least half-page ads in the paper, and to do everything that we can in the media to reach out, to try to touch the lives of others, is so important. And then there are these other things that we add to this. And that is the bottom thing that's there is those special requests for mission trips. And as you look on the screen, in the year 2004 to 2007, no fewer than 16 countries were touched because of monies that you provided. Oftentimes, our young people who go off to Christian college would say, the college is planning a mission trip over to here, to that place. And then there are other individuals who are not just in that college age group, but other individuals that say, I want to be part of a mission trip. Can the church here help at all in relationship to that? And so every year we've had this special request funds as a part of Mission Sunday. And if we can reach that $97,000 level, those monies will be there. We want to include also in that pyramid of more mission trips over to Marsh Harbor. Folks, are you aware of what's happening over in Marsh Harbor and the part that Palm Beach Lakes is playing in that? And you see those reports and you see how they're standing on their own more and more and needing us less and less, and we're doing everything we can to pull back from that work. We're not trying to dominate that work. That's not our work that's over there. We're just trying to be a sister congregation to help that work begin to stand on its feet. And that's exactly what's happening. this past year, there's been a remarkable growth that's come about. And with the fact that we've been able to send adults over on mission trips over to the Bahamas has certainly contributed to that. And then we've already mentioned the fact that we need additional monies to do multimedia blitzing of this Silencing of God seminar. And we really hope that you will be a part of that. We also want to, if we can reach the $107,000 level next Sunday, to be able to fulfill the dreams that that Phil Porter has. He's our deacon sort of in charge of mission. And he's trying to plan for the next 3 years mission trips to other places. Think about the fact that missionaries have been here. Those from the South Pacific have said, can you get a team together and send it over here to the South Pacific? And Chris Fry down when he spoke to us about the work in Paraguay, can you help in this? And so because of Phil's association with that work down in Peru and the fact that some of you have already been a part of that, we want to participate in those adult trips. Not that we fully fund that, those funds, so that just anybody wants to, well, I think I'd like to go to Peru and see what Peru is like. That's not what it's all about. But to try to lower the cost to every individual that wants to go, so when they're going out to raise their monies, to be able to go, that the massive numbers, that will be well over $1,000 or more for them to be able to make that trip, could be made lesser, and that this church then can be a part of that. And so the plans, if Phil's plan works out, is this year to go to Peru and next year to go out to the South Pacific where we've been invited by our South Pacific missionaries, and then the next year after that to go down to Paraguay. Our deacons have stepped up. They've raised the bar. Thank you, deacons, for what you're doing and the evidence that we're seeing as you were challenged back in November to raise the level of your participation and your dream for this work. And thank you for doing that. And this is just a further evidence of that. Now then, what we also want to do is to expand this Heart to Heart magazine, this thing that we're talking about where we've reached 8,000 homes. If we can reach the $107,000 level, we want to increase that and expand the area that we can use to reach out and to touch those individuals that are in that area. And so we just want to make that happen more and more. It's such an unbelievably effective tool. We not only want to continue what we have been doing, and that's in that base number, but if we can reach that $107,000 level next year, we'll be able to reach out and do even more. And then the next level is $123,000, which, by the way, is the numbers that we have averaged. I think we've averaged $123,400, $123,800 will allow us to do more over in the Bahamas and make more trips over there. But are you aware of the fact, we mentioned this last Sunday, that we mailed a special flyer out into this area to 48,000 homes, not advertising per se, but to put in their hands the plan of salvation so that there's not an individual in those homes that can ever say in those 46,000 homes around our building, 46,000, there's not a one of them that said, nobody ever told me what I must do to be saved. And that happened last year. And so if we can reach that $123,000 level this on Mission Sunday, we will be able to expand that, not just to have 48,000, but to have more than 100,000 homes touched because of your generosity. Brethren, there is so much that thrills me about this. And somebody said, well, what are we going to do if we have more than 123,000? Well, the first thing we're going to do is not reduce that $1,700. Those monies are going to be put back in. And the reason those monies were reduced is simply because we want to take on our own missionaries. But if we reach $123,900 and reach and go up to that level, the first $1,700 that's there we'll be able to restore and to say to those brethren, and they fully understand what we're doing, to say that we're not going to reduce at all what we've contributed out there in that area. And then the monies that come above that, above the $123,000 after the $1,700 is taken out, will be become a part of the beginning of Palm Beach Lakes mission team. Brethren, for 15 years, we've been talking about having our own mission work. And so we can look at Ascension, Paraguay and say, that's where we are focusing our work. And it's not some unknown person in an unknown place, in an unknown kind of work. We've our association with Chris and Vicki and all that they have done, and the fact Chris and Vicki grew up in this congregation, and in a sense Josh and Kara have matured in this congregation, and Troy and Andrea have been a part of this congregation and have grown up in this congregation. Brethren, 2008 is the year when it all starts. What are we going to do? From you, the word of God sounded out, Paul said of the church in Thessalonica. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the statement is, they first gave themselves to the Lord. It will not happen unless there's a spirit of sacrifice. And those little children who in years past had brought their jars full of money and their piggy banks and all the things that they bring when they've been saving their monies for this year, they're exemplary. You know, there's not any of us that have all that multitudes of money. But you just take a little bit more by every one of us, and I don't know what you gave last year. And I know that times are tough, and I know that insurance has gone up, and I know the cost of living has gone up, and I know that gasoline is more expensive. But in order that we might be able to glorify God, I'm asking you to spend time every day this week praying, God, give me wisdom about how much I ought to be able to give. And how much you give is not between you or me or you and the elders at all. It's between you and God. But when there was that opportunity to give to God, those poor saints in Thessalonica, the Bible says, out of deep poverty, they gave. And they were able to do it because it started inside their heart. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. And so the challenges before us, our elders have provided great leadership in planning what we're trying to do. And the challenge is before us for this next Sunday. May God help us rise to the occasion and surpass and astound not just the elders, but astound each other in what we as a unit collectively give to God. Think about the monies you spend on recreation in a year's time. Think about what you spend when you go to the movies and buy the popcorn and all the things that are there. And that, multiply that by you going once a month or maybe every week and see places where you might be able to make sacrifices. You may decide to drive your car another year instead of trading and take those kinds of monies. And I'm not trying to tell you what you ought to do. I'm just trying to raise your eyes to see there's some understanding of what you might be able to do. And don't forget about that sister in Christ who knew about Palm Beach Lakes who said, I'm going to include Palm Beach Lakes in my will. You may be wanting to get into your savings, especially those of us who are older, and say, I'm going to go ahead and give it this year so that while I'm alive, it can be done. And young people, I'm challenging you to think about what you can do in the matter of world evangelism with whatever allowances and whatever funds that you have. And to every one of us, may God help us to do this. First, give ourselves to the Lord. And what that number is will be determined by our hearts. And now we sing this song of invitation where there's an opportunity that there are those who have lives may have been touched by Jesus who want to give themselves to the Lord to do so in this very service. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, for Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. If you'll make up your mind right now, I'm going to serve Him. That decision to serve Him is called repentance. And the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, you can then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, the Lord will do for you what He's done for people since the church began 2,000 years ago. He'll add you to His family, to the body, to the kingdom. And then He says, now you live faithful. Serve God faithfully until the day that you die. And I'll give you the crown of life. However we can help you, let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?